Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and 26, the snap. Tagovailoa has a pocket, guns it downfield, intercepted, picked up by Poyer at the 30-yard line, up to the 20, to the 15 along the far sideline, and wrestled out of bounds at the 11-yard line. Jordan Poyer makes the interception, seals the deal for the Buffalo Bills.
John Murphy on that call, reliving some Bills-Dolphins memories. The Micah Hyde onside kick touchdown.
Dolphins.
Yeah, okay.
That was against the Dolphins.
Making sure.
Yes, it was.
The spinning onside kick. Catching, yeah. Running, touchdown. Dolphins. All right. Maybe their last visit to Highmark Stadium? We think so. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is Mike Catalano. Look back on this series, this Bills-Dolphins series, and talk about the matchup tonight as well for Thursday Night Football. Mike of WHAM and Buffalo Plus on YouTube. We haven't spoken since training camp. Mike, always a pleasure. Great to have you back.
Oh, great to be on the show.
Well, let's start with the history of this series. Mike, you've covered the Bills forever. And, you know, the ebbs and flows, sorry, with respect, you know, we talk about that at training camp all the time. The ebbs and flows of this series, you know, like you had the Dolphins had their day, and then the Bills, of course, had theirs. And we are currently living in a spot where it feels like Miami is, I don't know, are they at a crossroads every time they play the Bills? Because this could be a kill shot kind of game and start the next era of what Bills Dolphins might ultimately be.
Yeah, I think it very much could be that. It's a mess down there. I was speaking with Will Manso, his sports director at Channel 10 in Miami. He's covered the team forever. And first of all, he said the fan base has basically checked out, and the Dolphins know this. They technically still sell tickets, a lot of empty seats, TV ratings are down, all that stuff. And all that stuff plays into it. They're just not a well-run football team. And, you think about what they have. You've got their talented player, Tyreek Hill. You've got their quarterback in Tua, and you got the coach. And they're on different pages. Hill's trying to say the right things to get his way out the door. Tua's a little lost. I think McDaniel, I shouldn't say this in this way, but I think he wants to be fired. He's going to be fired. Get me out of here now. So his reputation doesn't even take more of a hit. I think they're a mess, and I think the Bills may just push them through that door tonight.
Yeah, whenever you hear him speak, Mike, this could be tough to read into, but everything just kind of sounds like he just doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you very rarely are getting optimism, anything from a Miami press conference. In fact, the more they talk, McDaniel or Tua with the Allen comments this week, the more they kind of are stepping in it with their own fans.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's like culture. Everybody, sometimes people, you know, they go, oh, yeah, what's culture? Until, you know, you talk to Micah Hyde when he says when he came to Buffalo, he laughed because, well, we didn't have a culture. And they built that, right? And it's Buffalo. And, you know, what do they have in Miami? You know, sunshine and, can I say palm trees down there? No culture. They don't. They have talent with nothing. They've almost, like, not taken the time to build that. And I'm saying this, like, they have had talented teams, good teams with opportunities to do something. And, well, the Bills on several occasions have taken them out of that, like the win down in Miami a few years ago. That was their shot, right? To win the division, all that, and they didn't do it. So, yeah, I think this – I'm with you. I don't see a light there. I don't see this team making a run. I mean, I think they'll put in effort tonight, but at the first sign when it's going bad, I think it'll go bad for them.
Yeah. Mike, when you think about this Bills team and where they are through 2 weeks, what about it? It's 2 weeks, so it might be a tough question, but what have you learned about them that has surprised you maybe through these first 2 weeks?
I would say I was surprised last week in just how dominant they were defensively, where it felt like, okay, I think they'll obviously be better. Baltimore's maybe one of one in what they put out there against the Bills. But I was impressed that they played the way they did last week. And that is, it's sort of been a strength of this team to find ways, even when guys are out. But I think that was fortunate for them. And the other thing is how, you know, it's Josh Allen and then the parts, right? The ways they do it offensively. I don't think you see flash at all. Yet you look down and you go, oh, there's 30-plus again. And then we shouldn't be surprised by that, but I've been pleasantly surprised at how they've done it without, you know, not anything tremendous out of Shakir, Josh not having to go crazy in the second game. I think they are a better version or potentially a better version of what we saw in total from last year and with an easier schedule this year. And that win against Baltimore early, I think this team can really go on some runs if they could, and especially if they get everybody back, because it's good to make up for guys like Milano and Ed Oliver when they're out. But I think you're going to need them for the tougher part of the schedule.
It's funny, like if you asked anybody 3 quarters into the opener, you might have some major concerns. The comeback win helps, and then the dominant win over the Jets. One thing that they've gotten better at, this is exactly something they had to focus on defensively, third down defense. The Jets went 0 for 11 on third down. I would say a lot of that's because of what the Bills did on first and second down as well. But I guess it comes down to how close to what they were against the Jets can they be against better teams. You know, maybe Miami's not that answer, maybe New Orleans, but the Bucs, right? The Bengals, if they're healthy, the Eagles, and the other playoff teams they'll eventually play when that time comes. Can they be a good enough defense where we're not at the end of the season saying, well, Josh did the thing and they let him down again?
Yeah, I think they can. They can be, and this is where I look at the schedule and say, boy, it kind of is doing them a favor, especially to escape the Baltimore game with a win, because it is giving them, when you look at it, a chance to ramp up a little bit. It should be, right? Tonight, on paper, should be. Next week should be, where you don't have to be perfect. To your point, it's good when you're against a team you should beat and you're dominant like they were last week. I don't know if you're going to get that every week. I don't know if you'll get that tonight, but it will help them. And then we'll see. What do they get from Ogunjobi when he comes in? And certainly Hoyt coming in to add to that. And Bosa, it's been very encouraging to see the way he's played. It makes such a difference when you have a guy doing what he's doing, and also recognizing, you know, McDermott's hinted at it and Bosa's said it too. Like, even he feels like he's got to be better on some of the early downs, because that's what they need. But it is great when a guy's in the backfield like that making plays for you.
Mike Catalano with us on the Wester Hotline. Mike, it's the last, it should be, the last game of Miami coming to the stadium. Obviously, so many years. I mean, there's a lot of top memories. How do you remember your first one, Bills and Dolphins at the stadium?
Not specifically the first regular season game. I remember the playoff game. I think it would have been, it was a divisional game in 91. And I have two big memories of Bills Dolphins. One was in Miami early, but it was, Kelly had been hurt, and he came back in that game. And it was just wild. I mean, he had missed a couple of games, and Jim threw for like 330 and 3 touchdowns. It was a little bit of snow. Bills outscored him like 44-34. So I remember, this is so funny. This is like, some of the Dolphins players had told Bruce, or said publicly, that Bruce was soft against the run. And he was angry, and he liked talking about that after the game. I mean, it was just kind of funny. You know, it's like, do not call me soft. I mean, they gave up 34 points, but they dominated. And then the other one was in Miami. Again, Kelly coming back from injury, you know, from after the comeback game and then the win in Pittsburgh. And that defense dominated Marino. It took the ball away like 5 times in the AFC Championship game, and that was down in Miami, when they thought, we finally have these guys, and the Bills beat them. So, you know, most of that time, it has been, you know, that team dominated the Dolphins as great as they were with Marino. And now in this stretch, they've done it too. I mean, I can also talk about Rex in his last game with a disaster.
It
ended up being a great one for the Bills because it got them into the next stage, which is dominating Miami again.
That is the last time Miami has won in Buffalo, game.
Yeah, yeah.
That correct. What I remember about that,
was Rex playing for a tie, not knowing that a tie eliminated him? Was that the kind of thing we were looking at?
It was all, he punted late.
Yeah.
And gave Miami the ball back, and then they had
10 men on the field. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, some real, I always wonder what Rex, the ESPN guy, would be saying about Rex, the coach, for a game like that. But that was quite a way to go out. And against, isn't it something? Yeah. They haven't beaten the Bills at home since then. So that'll be something.
The Bills are the biggest favorite in the league this year so far. It's week 3, and this is the biggest spread of any team. So Bills favorite to beat Miami, of course. Mike, before we get on and let you go, you'd broken the news about Oak Hill getting the PGA Championship back in 2035, and that's, of course, great news. I don't know if they'd been targeting a little bit earlier. It's a 12-year gap, and the gap previously had been about 10 years. But either way, coming back to Rochester, and great news for Oak Hill, for Rochester, and for golf fans.
Yeah, and this was no given. I had talked to a lot of people involved over the past few years, really, from the time of the end of the one they just had in 23, and there was big concern whether it works. You know, there's always that thought about the weather. I think it's overblown a little bit. You know, you're taking out a lot of courses if you don't want to play somewhat in the Northeast, and it's not about necessarily the weather or the tournament. It's the weather for them to get the course ready for the tournament. They do a phenomenal job here. So I think they alleviated at least enough of that. And then there's always talk of, you know, market size and things like that for these events. It is highly competitive. It used to be they would announce, oh, they're coming to Rochester, and then the state and everybody would get involved. It's different now. Like, they're fighting to get them to show up in New York State. And I think the governor and the state, you know, between, you know, when you think of Bethpage and all these places, it's sort of part of the whole thing with the economic help, the PGA of America gets in this to set it up. So, yeah, we were able to get the story before it came out, which is always nice when it's around the corner from you. And I think it's great for here. And then, because we have the U.S. Amateur here in 2027, and then the women's U.S. Open.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
37, which is the first ever women's tournament at Oak Hill. So they've got a lot going on during that period of time, but it is a pretty good stretch before we'll see the men's tour come back here to Rochester.
And had they been talking about trying to get a U.S. Open? Is that the kind of thing where you kind of have to pick your lane, what you're going to shoot for? Was the U.S. Open always a long shot, like a much longer shot?
I think they wanted it. I really do believe. Now, the first event I covered here, you talk about years. First event I covered here was the 1989 U.S. Open, okay? So they've wanted to be an open course, and they had the U.S. Amateur after that. That's a USGA event, and now they're bringing that back. And if you're trying to look at the tea leaves, Jeremy, you go, wait a minute, you've got the U.S. Amateur and the Women's Open. It's almost like, hey, we're doing all this stuff. Can we get... But you see the way the Open is. Like, most of the slots for the Open are filled. Like, it's crazy. It goes into the 2050s. So it's very limited, and I think the USGA has their spots, and Oak Hill's not on it. So They're fortunate, though. They're still in the mix with the PGA of America, and they've got that event coming back, and they're doing all kinds of renovations at Oak Hill and all, too. So I think they think there's still more down the road. But I'll put it this way. I'm not covering 35. Okay, I may go with a beer, but I am not covering the 2035 PGA.
And, of course, this week, memories of the 95 Ryder Cup at Oak Hill, which was
I mean, they're tremendous.
Yeah. Mike, you're also are you coming to town soon? You mentioned to me you're coming to town in October.
Yeah, you know, we do our Buffalo Plus podcast. We're doing a lot of appearances. It's like we're on a tour here. But Buffalo River Works Thursday, October the 9th. So Jenna Cottrell, Dan Fates, and myself will go there. We're doing sort of an event there from like 5 to 7, then doing our Buffalo Plus podcast at 7 o'clock. So. I've heard great things about the place. I have not been there, so we're going to be there. So if people want to come out, talk Bills, listen to the podcast, October the 9th.
All right, very good. Mike Catalana, WHAM, and Buffalo Plus on YouTube on the Bills and Dolphins. Enjoy the game tonight, Mike. Pleasure as always.
All right, thanks. All right, take care, guys.
All right. A little golf, a little football. We are in fall golf season.
I went yesterday and saw multiple trees that are starting to turn.
Yeah.
Getting some red on them and some orange.
Jonathan in Batavia. Hey, Jonathan, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Joe. Thanks for the show. Talking about Bills, Dolphins memories, I did attend the game that Rex Ryan got fired at, but my first two Bills games I ever attended was in 2006 and 2007, both against Miami. On both occasions, I won tickets through Genesee Community College, and then 2006 they won 21-0, and then 2007 they won 38-17. So about the same point of the season, both very similar thing, and those are my first two Bills games. Plus, I think for the game that Rex Ryan got fired. So a little bit of Bills memories.
Thanks, Jonathan. The Rex Ryan got fired game. I'm looking at it here. So it's 31-31 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of this game, if I remember correctly, the Bills dropped to they are 7-8.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to make the playoffs.
I'm pretty sure I really thought part of the lore of this was you lose with a tie.
Yeah.
Like you're eliminated with a tie.
And you still had an outside shot if you had won.
You cannot tie. And they punted to Miami with 4:09 left in overtime on a fourth and two.
Fourth and two.
At their own 41. It's a fourth and two at their own 41.
Egregious.
With 4:09 to go. And on the first play after that punt is the Jay Ajayi 57-yard run to the Bills 28.
With 10 men in the field.
Yes.
The Bills had 10 men in the field.
Yeah.
Brutal. And then he's gone the next day.
Memories.
Right? He's fired the next day. Anthony Lynn coaches the last game of that season, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and that's the last Dolphins win. So long ago.
Jay Ajayi is the running back for the Dolphins. Who's the quarterback of that game? The Bills lose to get eliminated from playoff contention to which Dolphins quarterback?
It's not Tannehill?
It is not Ryan Tannehill.
All right, well, if it's not Tannehill, then it's probably Matt Moore.
Correct. It is Matt Moore.
Is that the year he started a playoff game for them?
He started a game
in Pittsburgh.
Because Miami goes to 10-5 with that win.
Okay. And then you can go find it on YouTube if you want. Matt Moore, a couple weeks after that Bills game, took the biggest hit in that playoff game that I've ever seen a quarterback take. Like, him and the defender shot off the screen. You couldn't even see the end of it because it was such a hard hit. So, yeah. Matt Moore. Matt Moore and David Fales, everybody.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks of the Dolphins. Jay Cutler starting a game against the Bills for the Dolphins.
Anytime you mention
weird quarterbacks,
all of these quarterbacks that are on the trash heap of quarterbacks for a franchise, that's the alternate side of the how are you going to pay Tua? The answer is because if you don't pay Tua, you might end up in that spot. And I understand you want a Josh Allen, you want to chase a Josh Allen. Everybody loves to say, oh, just bail on it and get somebody new. Now might be Miami's time to actually try and do that after this year. But you get somebody in the middle, and you're a GM. I don't know that there are many GMs that would just say, like, oh, no, I'll just be 4-13 as long as it takes till I find, you know, Josh Allen. It's tough. It's tough business. How many quarterbacks are actually worth hitching your wagon to? Is it seven? Would you say fewer than that?
Say a dozen.
A dozen.
A dozen.
Give me a 12.
All right.
The 12,
Allen.
You think it is totally reasonable to hitch your full wagon to?
Allen,
Mahomes, Jackson.
Yep. Burrow.
Burrow.
I would say that about Justin Herbert.
Okay.
I would say that about Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts.
You would say that about Hurts.
I would say it about Hurts. Yeah, he's good. I wouldn't put him at the top.
But, yeah, and he's won a Super Bowl.
Yep. I would say that about Jared Goff right now.
Ooh.
I would say that about... That's eight.
You need four more. Jaden Daniels, you would say that.
Jaden Daniels.
You'd say that already.
Definitely about Jaden Daniels already.
You wouldn't say it about Drake May yet.
Nope. Not about Drake May. Certainly wouldn't say it about Caleb Williams.
Would you say it about Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Can I tell you, I saw something about Trevor Lawrence yesterday that was...
Stafford,
okay.
You do that.
You're at 10.
That's 10. I would do it to Baker for sure. Hitch, I'm all in on Baker. I would love Baker if he was my team's quarterback.
I think a lot of people would love Baker. The question is, can he win? Also, he lost a guard. Like the
whole line is destroyed because they played with two backup tackles on Sunday.
Right. The Bucs season might come undone by their offensive line getting hurt.
I mean, like 11. Tua's below the line for me.
Sure. That's probably
And not all of those guys are going to be like MVPs. But
no,
like,
I mean, most of them won't, and most of them won't make a Super Bowl.
But those are quarterbacks where like I would pay them. Anyone else, like, I would rather move on and try my luck at something else. I think the Niners have a decision to make with Purdy on this. He's great, but see Mac Jones in that offense? Looks just as good. Looks the exact same. The line moved one. With the news that Purdy might play this week, the line moved half a point.
They already paid Purdy. The decision's been made.
That's right.
One other thing. So anyway, I mentioned the thing about Trevor Lawrence. We'll get to Chris Brown on the other side. Brett Coleman wrote this about Lawrence, who was supposed to be, stop me if you've heard this before, a generational prospect, the best prospect.
Yep.
He's like the Andrew Luck. He wrote about the Jags. Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy and the Bootleg Podcast. He does great stuff on every team. The thing that frustrates me the most about the Jags is how almost good Trevor Lawrence is. He's not bad, but he's not enough. And you may have seen it this week. Liam Cohen and Lawrence in a on-field dispute because Cohen says, hit him in the chest. He's telling his quarterback, ball placement. I feel like I can remember Chris Brown over the years. We're talking about other quarterbacks. Like ball, it's not just getting the pass to the receiver. It's ball placement.
Mm-hmm.
And Coleman writes, Liam is doing what he can to ease the burden, but there's only so much he can do when his quarterback can't put the ball exactly where he wants to. You have a really good quarterback that isn't accurate enough. Not good enough. Lawrence, he's not bad. He's not enough. And wouldn't that make sense? You've got some film watchers that say, no, he can do a lot of things, but the ball's just not where it needs to be. He might be the guy that misses every putt by an inch, but sorry, you're not on the tour. You got to make it. I was close.
And they gave him a $275 million contract.
Yep. And that offense is not working the way it's supposed to right now. Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, like they're not putting up the numbers that are worthy of those investments they made.
Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams right now?
Oh, wow. I do have a stat for you on the Lions and the Bears.
I think I'd rather have Lawrence.
Do you know when Ben Johnson took over and got the job with Jared Goff and was the offensive coordinator, they started 1-6?
Wait, one more time?
Ben Johnson... They're 1-6 with Goff. The difference is, in those six losses, Goff and the offense consistently put up like 25 to 30 points and still lost.
They had like the worst defense
in the league. There were signs of life.
Yeah.
And right now with Ben Johnson and the Bears, they've got a long way to go. Tyson Bagent.
Caleb's rising on that first quarterback bench odds list.
There's our bet board. You want to bet Tyson Bagent starts a game for them and Williams is benched? I would bet that. Bagent gets a start. This year. Bagent.
All right, I'll bet that. I think they move on from Williams, but I don't think it's going to be that
quick. All right.
I don't think it's going to be that quick.
$5 bet board. I'm on the Tyson Bagent train. Chris Brown, when we return here on a Buffalo Bills football Thursday-ish. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.